Right, we're going to start out today with the fifth commandment. We've been learning the Ten Commandments. We're up to number five today. It's a real hard one. Ready? Let's say it together. Honor thy father and thy mother. Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. One more time. Honor thy father and thy mother. Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. Can we do it without the overhead? Honor thy father and thy mother. Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. Let's see if we could say all five commandments. Think you're up to that? All right, the first commandment. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Number two, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. Number three, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Number four was last week, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And today's one more time, honor thy father and thy mother. We're halfway there. You're doing great. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for those that have survived the weather to come here today. We just pray that you would give them a real special blessing because of it. And we ask, Lord, for any that might be traveling here yet, that you would protect them and bring them here safely. We want to commit this service to you and ask your blessing and anointing on it. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood.
God. Now sing it, really mean it. We shall see the King. We shall see the King.
We shall see the King.
Come on. Right here. Reach out and touch him. Worship him and praise him for that which is ours today. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise God.
Today we thank you that this is holy ground because you are here. Lord, when your people gather in your name, you promise to be there in the midst of them. Lord, today we pray that you would meet each need that is here. Lord, everyone that has a burden or something that they are carrying, Lord, we pray that they would be able to leave it with you today and they would find the answer in Jesus Christ. Minister to your people today, for we ask it in your name, the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Today is Women's Ministries Day, and so the ladies have a part of the service now, and I hope they were able to get somebody to fill all the slots for the skit, because some were calling saying they weren't going to be able to make it today because of weather and because of illness and things, so hope they got it covered. So Children's Church is dismissed at this time. You can go with Kelly to Children's Church. And then I will turn it right over to the Women's Ministries Department.
Okay, today our church joins Assembly of God churches across the nation in recognizing the ministry of women. From the formation of our fellowship, women have played an integral part of the ministry, both in the pulpit and in lay ministry. As we review the ministries today, we remember the angel's words to Hagar, the servant of Sarai, in Genesis 16:7. The angel of the Lord found Hagar near a spring in the desert. It was the spring that is beside the road to Shur. And he said, "Hagar, servant of Sarai, where have you come from and where are you going?" Today we focus our attention on the same questions the angel asked Hagar. Where have you come? The angel's question may have prompted Hagar to remember her early life in Egypt. We don't know much about her, only that she was of Egyptian descent, living as a servant to Abram's wife, Sarai. Abram possibly acquired Hagar as a servant on his sojourn in Egypt. She must have also recalled her recent days with Sarai. It wasn't a good situation. Tension arose because of following the mistreatment that caused Hagar to flee. She did not verbalize what was in her mind. She skipped the first question, just went directly to the second. But the question the angel asked Hagar is one we all can ask ourselves. Where have we come from, and where are we going? Where have we come from? In the scriptures, living in Egypt frequently typifies living in sin or bondage or servitude. Whatever our national heritage, all of us at one time or another lived in bondage to sin. When we think about where we have come from, we cannot help but remember our deliverance from sin and the difference Christ has made in our lives. None of us would be here today without God's grace reaching down to us and bringing us out of a sinful life, setting our feet on the way of righteousness, and making us a part of the family of God. Amen? As women, we have come together in the church. We have expressed our gratitude to God for his salvation by sharing the good news with others, both by word and caring action. And I hope you see that in your ladies of our church. We want to share briefly today where we have come from in women's ministries, both as a local congregation and as a national fellowship. And I think that's important because we don't always see sometimes we see what our ladies are doing here, but we don't know what's happening nationally. From the establishment of the Assemblies of God in 1914, women have had an active role. There is a book by Edith Blumhofer. It's called A Popular History of the Assemblies of God. And if you wanted to see what more nationally historic women have done for the Assemblies of God, you can look that book up. And actually, I think it would be an interesting history of your heritage as an Assembly of God member. A.J. Gordon attributed this expansion of women's roles in ministry to the moving of the Spirit, as foretold by the prophet Joel and repeated by Peter. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. While many women were finding a place of public ministry, other women came together in prayer and Bible study groups in local churches. Since the establishment of women's ministries in 1925, we have contributed more than $252.5 million to the National Assemblies of God. In our local ministry, we have bought dishes, we've bought Bibles, we've bought pews for the church, the vacuum. Many of the women donate the cleaning supplies. It is the ladies of your church that provide the fellowship dinner, clean up. A couple years ago, we sewed sheets together to make curtains for missionaries for medical needs. Thank you. Put together hospitals. And last year, because going to the state WM convention was not feasible for us, we put our own together. And I think it really touched a lot of the ladies, if not all of them. And again, going to the state one is not feasible for most of the women this year, and so we are doing it again. If I can put in a little advertisement, you can mark your calendars April 27th and 28th. And as we're putting together, I just feel God's movement in it. And I just booked the speaker, and I think she will really touch our hearts. We rejoice as we look at our history, knowing God has brought us out of sin and led us to a place of ministry and service. However, we are not content with what has been done in the past. We must look forward. Hagar's life was turned around by an encounter with the angel of the Lord who brought her a message from God. We believe God still speaks to us today and that he is calling us to greater ministry in the future. Like Hagar, let's answer the question, where are you going? Her answer was, I am running away. She had no goal, no plan of action, but to get away from an uncomfortable situation. The direction she was going would have taken her back to her old life in Egypt, which, remember, represents sin and bondage. Her physical condition would probably have prevented her making the difficult trip. Mercifully, Hagar was arrested in her flight by an encounter with the messenger of God. This interview gives us insight into God's knowledge of his people. He called Hagar by name. He didn't just say, hey, you. He knew her mistress. He knew the situation from which she had come, and he had compassion to her distress. The God Hagar encountered still seeks us today and asks us the same question, where are you going? It is a question we must answer individually and collectively as a church. As a women's ministries group, our answer is clear. We want to fulfill the purpose God has for us. He directed Hagar to go back to us with a specific purpose. Our purpose as a women's ministries group is to minister to every woman who comes into our church, whether no matter her age, her social status, or economic standing. We also want to involve women in ministries. Maybe not as a real visual piece, but when women get sick, our women are there to provide meals, to help in any way possible. Our ministry begins with the person on our left. Can you look to your left? Begins with the person on our left. Goes around the world and ends with the person on our right. It doesn't stop. Though we personally do not go to all these places, we connect with those who do through support and prayer for missions. God had a purpose for Hagar, as he does for each of us individually and collectively as a church. He knows us as he knew Hagar. He doesn't say, hey, you. He says, hey, Sharon. Hey, Rich. Hey, Christy. He knows where we've come and what our situation is and where we're headed. Mercifully, he stops us at times, questioning us, not for his knowledge because he knows all, but to help us face ourselves. Where have we come from and where are we going? Today is a good time, a good day for each of us to answer these questions. If you're still living in the land of sin or headed back that way, God is calling you out to face your circumstances and surrender yourself to him. You will experience his love in a way you have never imagined. If you're running from unpleasant circumstances, God's mercy and love are reaching out to you. Running does not solve your problems unless you are running to God. Come to the Lord today. He will give your life meaning and purpose. Seems like lately when I've been getting up in front of you, I have a list of trivia questions. I don't have them today. No applause necessary. But I do have a couple of questions for you. Where have you come from and where are you going? And if you haven't answered those questions in your lives, I hope today you do. You face that. And if you feel, if you're answering those questions today, there's a lot of people here that are willing to sit down with you and answer those questions. With Hagar, we'll say, Lord, you know us, you see us, and we submit to your purpose for our lives. We want to be involved with the great work you are doing around the world. Now, as we do the play and as you hear the specials, just be thinking about that message. Also, as Pastor said, we have had a lot of last-minute switching around with the ladies in the play because due to sickness and the weather. So if you'll bear with us, please. And then the ladies will have a special now.
Sweet are the promises, kind is the word, dearer far than any man ever heard. Pure was the mind of Christ, sinless I see. He the great example is and pattern for me. Tender love Jesus hath shown, sweeter far than any love that mortals have known. Kind to the erring one, faithful is he. He the great example is and pattern for me. Where he leads I trust in his promises, faithful and sure. Lean upon the Savior and thy soul is secure. Where he leads I'll follow, follow all the way. Jesus every day.
At a crossroads in life, changing roles, unforeseen crises, circumstances over which we have no control, or even the consequences of our own choices can leave us confused, wondering which way to turn. Many voices in our world call, beckon, and entice. To which voice should we listen? Perhaps today, women in this congregation are facing a crisis of their own, a turning point where decisions must be made. Where do we find the wisdom to choose? From where do we draw strength and summon our courage? Can anyone point us in the direction we should go? Where do we go from here?
Lord, I'm so desperately lonely. My husband jobs up roots so often, I never have time to be acquainted with anyone. The people at my church are friendly, but their interests aren't the same as mine. All that they go beyond is, hello, how are you? I've tried to get acquainted, but no one needs another friend. They all have each other. My husband has the work he loves to keep him busy. He just doesn't understand how I feel. My friends back home think he's insensitive and uncaring. Sometimes I agree. They want me to leave him and come home, and I don't want to leave my husband. But I just can't deal with this loneliness anymore. Lord, where do I go from here?
I'm 15 years old and I'm pregnant. What am I going to do? My parents are going to be so upset, so disappointed. This will hurt them so much. I talked to a counselor at school today. She said that they never even have to know. A simple procedure will end the whole thing. Nobody will be hurt. But what about the life inside of me? The eternal soul that God already knows by name? Does one sin justify another?
My husband has just been diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease. I feel as though the bottom has dropped out of my world. I never thought this would happen to us. We have so many plans, so many dreams. Now the future holds nothing but dread. What's going to happen to him, to our family, to me? Friends tell me to think of myself first. Hospitals and nursing homes are better equipped to handle this. But he is my husband. For better or worse, in sickness and health, I have vowed to love and cherish him, and I do. But God, I'm so afraid. What should I do? Where should I go from here?
Women at the crossroads, hurting, alone, fearful of tomorrow. Thousands of years ago, a woman named Hagar came to a crossroads in life, alone, expecting a child, and fleeing a very unhappy situation. She too cried out in desperation. But when she reached that defining moment, Hagar discovered she was not alone. God loved her and cared about the painful circumstances of her life. He sent an angel to her with a message of hope, encouragement, and provision for her needs. God still cares for women today and the crises they face. He offers answers to their questions and provision for their needs. Does he still send angels? Perhaps. But his plan is to send his bride, the body of Christ, you and me, to bring healing and hope to those who need his direction as we touch our world with his love.
Hi, I'm Nancy. I've seen you around a few times, but I haven't had a chance to meet you.
Hi, I'm Annette.
Are you new to the area?
Yes, I've been here for about a month. My husband's work, he works for a consulting firm. Unfortunately, we move a lot.
I know, that's so hard. I can relate to the things that you're saying. My husband used to be in the military, and every time he would get a new assignment, he'd be gone for months at a time. I was so lonely. How do you like it here so far?
Pretty good. I haven't got much chance to get to know anybody very well.
Yeah. I've got some super places that I'd like to take you for shopping and stuff if you have some time.
Oh, really? That'd be great.
How about Tuesday morning?
Sounds good.
Oh, by the way, this afternoon I'm having a cookout for a few of the people at church. We just have a great time of fellowship, and since you're new, I thought it would be nice for you to meet them. Would that work for you?
That would be wonderful. What an answer to prayer.
Really? Yes, Lord. I know how difficult it can be when you're here by yourself. our ladies, well, at the cookout this afternoon, there's going to be another couple, and they've been here for probably a month longer than you have. So they're new to the church, too. And on Thursday nights, we have a wonderful women's Bible study. We're studying the power of prayer. And I can't think of a better way to get to know people than to study God's Word and to have wonderful fellowship afterwards. We'd love it if you'd come.
Sure, I'd love to. It'd be wonderful.
Super. Do you have a minute? I'd like you to meet some people.
Sure.
An angel? No. Just a woman who understands loneliness and is willing to open her heart and home to embrace the other lonely women and people for Jesus' sake.
Oh, Lori, I'm so grateful to you for loving and understanding. Thank you for giving my daughter such wise counsel. Nora has always loved you as a Sunday school teacher, and I'm so glad she felt she could come to you now.
Well, I am too. I haven't told this to many people, but not too long ago I was where Nora is today. It has taken me many years for me to forgive myself. I knew Nora could come to you, and together you would work things out.
Mom and Dad have been so kind and loving, forgiving me. I know this won't be easy, but I know God has a plan for this baby, and together we'll do what's best for it.
He already has a plan for that baby, and we're praying that He will give us the right decisions according to His will.
Sometimes the consequences of our own choices bring us to a crossroads in life, but God will not abandon us. He is, in every sense of the word, a redeemer. He desires to forgive and restore broken lives, giving hope and a future.
Thank you for listening, Sharon. You and Maya have been so supportive. I don't know what I'd do without you.
We always want to be here for you, Carol. We want to help in any way we can.
Carol, I have something I want you to see.
What's that, Mom?
Well, this was my mother's, your grandmother's, prayer journal.
What?
It was tucked away in an old cedar chest up in the attic. I'm sorry to say I forgot all about it until a few weeks ago when Carol and Marv received their bad news. As I was praying for you, Carol, I remembered it. I think it may be an encouragement to you. This entry was written just after my father was diagnosed with Alzheimer's.
Grandpa was diagnosed with Alzheimer's? And all these years have never told me that?
Honey, you didn't have the privilege of knowing your grandfather. He died before you were born. His illness was not the most important fact about him. I wanted you to know him for the kind, loving man he was. The man of integrity, who worked hard and accomplished many great things. I felt he deserved to be remembered for those qualities, not merely as being the grandfather with Alzheimer's disease. My mother loved him and protected him, doing her very best to preserve his dignity. She took her wedding vows very seriously, as well as her biblical mandate to honor and respect her husband.
Lord, where do I go from here? How my heart aches to see my strong, gifted husband reduced to confusion and dependence. He has been a well-respected leader, important to so many people in our family, the church, and community. Please spare him pain and humiliation. Please give me wisdom day by day to be the wife I need to be, to keep his life happy and productive. I don't know what the future holds, but I know that you have promised to be with us both. Thank you. For that promise, Lord, I'm depending on it. She must have been quite a woman.
Mom, I can't believe it. In all the times that Grandma talked about Grandpa, she never once mentioned Alzheimer's. She always seemed so cheerful and positive. She never looked like she had a problem in the world.
She always was that way, even when there were things that were at their worst.
Some of these entries. It looks like life got pretty hard.
It wasn't easy for her. By this time, I was married and living hundreds of miles away, and my brother was closer to home. but she handled almost everything on her home. I should say, her and God.
These pages are filled with scriptures. This whole journal is like a conversation with a close and personal friend.
She knew where to turn for her help and strength. She accepted God's word as personally written for her, and she relied on his promises.
This journal is a treasure. What a testimony to the faithfulness of God. I guess what you're telling me is God will be just as faithful to me.
None of us know what tomorrow will bring. That's why Jesus said, "Take no thought for tomorrow, but live each day as it comes. As our days, so shall our strength be. He will never leave us, and he will be here for us as each new day unfolds. We can trust him. He has everything under control."
Angels of mercy? No. Just ordinary women who will be there through the long days and nights ahead, praying, listening, and doing what they can to meet practical needs, touching their world with the compassion and love of Jesus. Many hurting women are at a crossroads in their lives today, desperate, confused, carrying so many burdens. Where have you come from, and where are you going? Will you use your experience, wisdom, and faith in an all-powerful God to guide someone at the crossroads of her life? The lives of future generations are depending upon you. Will you reach out and touch your world with the love of our Savior?
I had a scripture verse the Lord gave me this week and fits in beautifully with the skit. It's from Psalm 139, verses 7 and 8. Psalm 139, verses 7 and 8. "Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there." I'd just like to share a couple thoughts with you to go along with those verses this morning. Augustine, in his book, The Confessions, wrote, "You are the most hidden from us, and yet the most present amongst us." Present, yet hidden. I think that aptly describes our God, doesn't it? You know that God is present because the Bible says so, and your experience echoes it. But when trouble comes, sometimes we have doubts and we falter. And yet, how and when this seemingly paradoxical statement, hidden but present, it's still true. And I'd just like to share with you this morning, real quickly, how we know that that's true. In what situations in life do we know that God is hidden but present? First of all, through peace. When the peace of God passes all understanding, we know that God is hidden but present. When we can't see him and yet we have peace, we know that he is hidden but present. Many times this comes as a result of prayer. When we are praying, God's presence fills the room. He is hidden, but yet we know that he is present. He is there. Also comes through playing melodious music. We know that music not only drives away evil spirits, as in the case of Saul when David played his harp for him, but playing melodious music also lets us feel the presence of God. Even though we might not be able to see him, he is hidden but present. Another time when we experience this paradoxical statement to be true is when God meets our needs through unseen resources. When he meets your and my needs through unseen resources, I think of Elijah. And what an excellent example he was in that area, where God sent the ravens and Elijah was able to get his food from the mouth of the ravens. Now let me be quick to add that God probably won't do that for you in that same way. I'm glad that God hasn't provided for my needs in that same way, because I don't think I'd want to eat things out of the mouth of birds. Because usually what you find in a bird's mouth is a worm. And sometimes they're regurgitated ones at that. So I don't think I'd like to eat anything out of the mouth of a bird. The only kind of worms I like are those gummy worms, or even those sour gummy worms. But even they look kind of disgusting, don't they? Well, the point is, that God meets our needs in a variety of ways, and he shows himself to be hidden but present. And then the third way today was so very well illustrated in the skit this morning. God is hidden but present when other Christians serve us. When other Christians serve us, we know that God is hidden but present. When they do it in the name of the Lord, and they come alongside of us, and they serve us, and they do things for us, we thank God. We know that God is the one who instigated that and laid it upon that person's heart to minister to us. A few Sunday nights ago, you ministered to Debbie and myself and our family, and I was so grateful, and I could really feel the strength of God pouring into me as you prayed for us. The presence of God that night was hidden, but he was still there working through you. Hidden but present. There are other times when God is hidden but present as well, and it's not my objective to list all those things today, but what I just want to say is there are times and situations in your life when it looks as though God has abandoned you or at least misplaced you. And we have all probably felt this way at one time or another. But even though God may not be visibly present, he is not hidden from us either, because he is always there. He is always present. Jesus said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will be with you until the end of the age." A man once observed a boy out in the field flying a kite. And as the man watched this boy flying this kite, he noticed that the boy stood a little awkwardly, and he also noticed that he didn't hold on to the string just the right way. There was something awkward about the way the boy was flying the kite. And so the man thought that he would take a closer look, and so he walked across the field up to where this boy stood flying his kite. And then he noticed that the little boy was blind. And he said to the little boy, "Do you like to fly kites?" And the little boy said, "I sure do. I love to fly kites." Well, curiosity got to the man. He couldn't help himself. He had to ask the boy one question. "How can you like to fly kites when you can't see the kite flying in the air?" And the little boy responded and said, "You're right. I can't see the kite flying, but I can feel it tugging." And in our own lives, we sometimes cannot necessarily feel or see, I should say, the presence of God in our world. Like the little boy, we may not be able to see his presence, but we feel him tugging, don't we? And we know that he is there as he speaks to our hearts. And maybe you're going through a situation today. I want you to know that you are not alone. I want you to know that God may seem hidden, but he is very present with you. And he is a very present help in times of trouble. And my prayer is that you might not be able to see him today physically, but that you will be able to feel him tugging at your heart. He'll give you the peace that passes all understanding. He'll meet your needs in unseen ways. He'll use another Christian to speak to you and to minister to you. And like the lady so aptly put it in the skit, it's up to us sometimes to be and represent God on this earth to others. Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed this morning. I think everybody here is a Christian, but just in case somebody is here that's not, you might have had doubts about God. Is he for real? After all, I never seen God. How do I know he's real? I'll tell you how you can know he's real. He's tugging at your heart this morning. He's saying, "Would you open up your heart? Would you open up your life and let me in?" That tug on your heart, that voice to your heart today, calling you to give your life to Jesus, that's God speaking. That's God being hidden but present today. He's knocking at your heart's door. He's saying, "Will you open up? If you open up, I will come into you. I will fellowship with you. And you can have fellowship with me." Is there anybody here like that this morning? Would you say, "Pastor, would you pray for me? I feel the tug at my heart to receive Jesus this morning." Anybody here? Anybody here? anybody at all. And then as the ladies challenged us, I wonder if you would be willing to be among those who serve, to represent Jesus. He'll say to some, inasmuch as you've done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. You want to do it for Jesus' sake. You want to serve for His sake. Even though God may be hidden, you want to be His visible presence upon this earth. If you may want to make that commitment today, I wonder if you'd raise your hand up to the Lord, up and then down, real quickly. Amen. Mine is up with you. Lord, we thank you that even though sometimes you are hidden, you are always present. You are always there. There is no time when you have abandoned us. Neither is there any time that you have misplaced us. Even though we may feel that, Lord, by faith we know that you may be visibly hidden, but you are always present. And I ask, Lord, that you would continue to pull on the strings of our heart. Lord, that we would always feel you tugging. We would feel your closeness. Help us, Lord, to be able to reach out to others. Help us to serve them so they will know that even though you may be hidden, you are present. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Could we stand? Let's, in closing, sing that chorus, He is Here. He is Here. This will be our last chorus, and then we'll dismiss.
He is here. Hallelujah. He is here.
No place that you can go and get away from His presence. He's here this morning, and the tremendous truth is that He will be with you when you leave here today. So God bless you. Go with His blessing and His traveling mercies. You are dismissed.